Before we started the ninth parak Yesh Mitaras, I think we're up to the second mission in the parak. Shnias midivrei seifrin. So Mimela, we had already in the second parak, we learned that there's a category of isurei drabanan, relatives that are only forbidden midrabanan. They are called shnias, and normally if a shnia falls to yibam, so daraisa there would even be yibam, but midrabanan because she's forbidden, so you're cholsin v'lo miyabin. So the Mishnah says the following: shnia l'bav lo shnia l'yavam. Let's say, again, the Gemara will give examples. Let's say you have a shnia to the Baal. The Baal married a shnia. But to the Yavam, she's muteris. So in such a case, asura l'baal muteris l'yavam, meaning we don't apply the rule that since the Yavam is taking over the ishus of the husband, so if there's an isur shnia to the husband, it should somehow pass over. But rather, l'gamri, she's muteris l'yavam. On the other hand, shnia l'yavam v'lo shnia l'baal. If, on the other hand, to the Baal, it was Kedushay Heter, but to the Yavam, it is a Shnia, Asura liyavam, umuteris labal. Okay, l'chara, that would be Pashit, but okay. Shnia lazev lazeh, Asura lazev lazeh. Okay, again, we'll see exactly what is the Chiddush of this. Now, Shtesach, of course, whenever it says Asura, you need Chalitza, that's for sure, because Doraisa, it's a permissible marriage. First of all, even if it's chayvei lavin min atayra, you give chalitza. So kal v'chaymer by ishniya. So now the Mishnah gives you a big laundry list, which the Mishnah repeats in many scenarios of what are the consequences. Well, we'll see if it's every prohibited marriage, but essentially what the Mishnah is going to point out is that when an ishus has a tzad iser, some of the zechusim of a woman and some of the chiyuvim of the Baal are nifka. Now, one, again, there's an interesting thought about this, because in a sense, we're going to see, it's a shtickel idea of chayte nisker, meaning to say, when I marry a woman, I'm allowed to marry, I have all sorts of obligations. When I marry a woman I'm not supposed to marry, then all of these obligations disappear. So in a sense, the person is benefiting from the fact that it's a prohibited marriage. Okay, the Gemara will in fact talk about that. But it mentions, if a man marries a shnia, now we'll see what happens if a man marries chai be'lavin, like a grusha, but if a man marries a shnia, then the following things happen. Ein lo kesuva, the woman that he will have to divorce does not collect a kesuva. Right? That means she does not get the mana masayim. A shnia does not get mana masayim. Number one. Number two, v'loy peres. Yes, so what is the book he has to say over here? Yes, so first of all, look at the book he has to say before that. Look at what it means to say ein lo kesuva. It means more than that. Perish Rashi zal, afilu nichsei tzayin barzel shehichnisa lo shaafhi nikras kesuva. So at least the way Rashi learns, some Rishonim are chaylik, not only does a shnia not get mana umasayim, but a shnia does not even get the dowry that she brought in. Remember, nichsei tzayin barzel means she brings in a nedunya, and the husband was makabel to reimburse her for the value of the nedunya that she brought in, so that even if it goes down in value, he will give her the difference. But if it goes up in value, it's to the benefit of the husband. Now, this is quite amazing. What this is basically saying is, according to Rashi, that if she brought in nichsei tzayin barzel, and now there is a gershin, which he's mechuyev to do, so not only does she not get the manu masayim, she does not even get a return of her dowry. So this guy who did a prohibited marriage comes out pretty well, because the dowry that she brings in, that he was makabel v'ksuva, he gets to keep. Okay, well, we'll see what the story for this is. she's losing out. The kanas is on her. She forfeits her nidyon. You know, okay, now what is light peiris? So this means the following. Eina maitzia mimenu peiris she'achal kvar afal pi she'achlam shalai kedin ditakinu lo peiris tachas pirkuna v'hacha hu eino chayev lifteisa delo karinan bay v'yusvinach li liintai kain peiris rashi v'chein b'yushalmi. So what is the halacha here? The woman brings in, let's say a woman has other property that was not part of the ksuva. Either she inherited it, and she may have inherited it during the marriage or before the marriage or whatever. So that's called nichsei malug. She gets the guf. Now that she does get. In other words, she does get the nichsei malug because the husband never owned it. But the husband has the right of achilas peiris. Now l'chaira, logically, the husband of the shnia should not have a right of achilas peiris. Why? Because the Gemara says, Tiknu peiris tachas pirkuna. What does that mean? That since one of the chiyuvim of a husband is that if his wife is kidnapped, he is mechuyev, as opposed to the tzibor, he is mechuyev to pay for her ransom. And the chachamim, as compensation for that, gave him peiris. We give you peiris because you're mechuyev to ransom her. Now, a shnia, he's not mechuyev to ransom. Now that doesn't mean you let her languish pigeon shvayim, but that means that there's no miyuchedik chiyav an ebal to be poda ishtei shnia. It's a chiyav an the tzibor. And the reason is because the tanai of the ksuba, which is not in our ksubas, but apparently it used to be written in the ksuba, is I will ransom you and bring you back to be my wife. So we kind of have a hekesh. When are you mechuyev to ransom her? Only when you bring her back and she'll be your wife. And since a shnia, I'm not allowed to stay married to, I'm not mechuyev to be poda. Ah, a bazai, if I'm not mechuyev to be poda, I shouldn't have the right to eat peiris. A bazai, if I ate peiris upon the divorce, she should be able to be taiveya, the peiris that I ate. Kamash malan, it's farfalan, that she even loses the right to be taiveya peiris that the husband ate shaloi kedin. Now, that does mean, the mashmaos of the way Rashi understands is that she would be allowed during the marriage to go to base. In other words, it's like b'dieved. If the husband chapped around and ate the peiris, she has no tfiyah. But it seems she would be allowed to stop the husband from eating the peiris, because Rashi does call it achilas peiris shelo kedin. So this is an after the fact knas that we're putting on her. She cannot be taiveya the peiris that the husband ate shelo kedin, but we do admit that it's eating it shelo kedin. So if it's eating it shelo kedin, a beis din could enjoin the husband from doing it. And she can go and say, I want the peiris to be put in my bank account. Or whatever it is. So that's light peiris. Okay, then going on in the Mishnah.
Sorry, that's just a side question. If it's on Brazil, usually the couple can pay back the same amount. Is that in real terms? I mean, it goes up with the value of.
No, it's the value that was assessed at the time of the marriage.
Meaning, in today's terms, if it was $1 million, it's going to be back $1 million.
That's correct.
It's not inflation. It's not based on inflation.
It's actual literal money. I mean, generally, Chazal are relatively different to inflation. I mean, for example, interest is forbidden, even if it's lower than the rate of inflation. Even though, in real terms, you know, you're not giving back more money. We look at the actual thing. Yeah.
Why is that? I mean, there wasn't such a concept of inflation after they got through and that was the Gemara, or it wasn't.
Well, we looked at. Okay, we looked at, I mean, Chazal certainly were aware of prices changing.
Right.
But we don't look at that, it's a semantic thing. We don't look at it as a change in the value of money. We look at it in the change of the value of commodity. So if a loaf of bread costs $1, now it costs $2, an economist would describe that as saying the value of the dollar has been halved. They say, no, the dollar is still a dollar. The cost of bread doubled. But the dollar is a dollar, and therefore, if you give $2, you're paying more.
Tosfos says something, or where? He says someplace that that silver is, gold is 30 times more. It's always been that way, 30 times more than silver. Gold is 30 times greater than silver.
Therefore, you say, what are you comparing?
He's saying that it's about there's no inflation.
Right.
The inflation is only commodities, not money.
Right. Money doesn't change. Right. Money does not change.
That's only. It's only gold and silver. Today, when money's all
fungible, it's paper money.
And there's no gold standard.
There's no gold standard.
Intrinsic value. Right. It used to be gold standard. They gold not for one.
Until, was it Nixon or it was Boston until?
Yeah,
right.
British bankers still say, I promise to pay the bearer upon demand the sum of £1.
But they have,
if you can't, if you go and ask to be polio, they'll give you back in the.
Yeah, well, they used to have Americans have even silver certificates, different dollars. I remember there were dollars that said silver certificate.
You can always be needing for silver dollars.
Not everyone. Some were called silver certificates, some were just called Federal Reserve. Like a standard dollar today is a Federal Reserve note. But then they had two types. They had, maybe it was newer money circulating, but I remember two different. Everyone was a silver certificate.
Everyone was a silver certificate.
Right.
You had a right to go and get your silver dollar.
The United States promises to pay to the bearer of this.
They're not paying any gold or silver anyway these days.
I remember seeing, I think it was a tweet from you, but I may be wrong, talking about why you only mechuyev to not charge interest to the Jews. I think he says because you're actually giving up money. You're not getting your value. Money's going down in value.
Now, you know the Torah Tzimim was a banker. It's interesting he would be sensitive to that. In fact, he wrote, he wrote many Svarim, but in addition to Svarim, he actually wrote a textbook in Russian on banking. Yeah, he writes. He says he wrote okay. Actually, banking is interesting. Another person who was a banker here in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Blau. That's a quite a little bit. It's a great, great Talmud Chacham. Rav Blau was a banker for he worked in a bank. He didn't own a bank. He worked it because he felt very strongly that he was mechuyev al seksuba to support his mishpacha. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He is a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. But he worked in a bank for many years. That's how he became a mumche in Hilchas Ribbis and everything else. He wrote the Heter Iskus for everything, until Dayan Weiss of the Eid Haredes pulled him out. He said, "You can't do this. You have to." So he said, "I don't have a parnasa." So he made him a Dayan and the Eid Haredes. But he worked.
Yeah, he
worked in like bank loan. Yeah, he worked. He worked in the bank. He wanted to get okay.
He also worked.
Yeah, that's right. So it's kind of like Einstein in the patent office. Maybe just give you time to think.
I was just bringing that up because doesn't that show you? I mean, maybe he's just saying there's a vault, but doesn't it show you that there is a concept at least today that the money does change?
Well, let me put it this way. I mean, I think the Torah Tzimim's point is not linked to the conceptual framework. Meaning like this. Whether you say money changes or commodities change, lemaisa, I'm sorry, the loss is a loss. So ribbis is a gzeiras hakasav, meaning ribbis is not a logical rule, that if I'm charging interest equal or less than the rate of inflation, so I'm just getting back my losses. So he says, but still, once we have the gzeiras hakasav, that could goofa be what the gzeiras hakasav tells us. The gzeiras hakasav tells us that we look at money as constant. In other words, it could be ribbis is the thing that teaches you that conceptualization, as what you would have thought, without it might have been.
Ribbis, I heard this from emotion.
Yeah.
Because that's the gathering of ribbis.
No, I hear, but the chid, but the
chid is alone.
Right.
So you should imitate me and not
right. But the chiddush is that still that still presupposes that the value of money remains constant. So even if you say that lumbus, you have to go with that conceptualization. Otherwise,
is there anyone who says this thing about banknotes now being different?
I've never heard of a lumbus that ribbis would be permitted today because of a banknote.
But not ribbis, but ribbis that would keep up with inflation.
Maybe ribbis not. I'll use the term ribbis to show you ribbis not. I thought big game, but nevertheless.
Maybe.
Up that, the next one far as
that.
Oh, in terms of how you compensate.
I'm saying that's, that would be the exact concept that even though really in real terms, you're losing out, that it would be awesome.
How would it work for Nadunya? The truth of the matter is, the Mishnah and Ksuvus itself, you might remember, Mishnah and Ksuvus itself actually says that for Nichsei San Brazil, we actually do add a third or a sixth, but that was based on valuation mistakes. It was not based, right.
It was like the value to be added.
Right. That was not based on inflation per se. That was based on making people happy, covetous.
Well, I'm saying, you know, as South African, inflation there is something like 17-18% every year. Yeah. So by the time you get to 20 years of marriage, it's not worth anything anymore. If you're giving the same amount, you're really not giving anything. Might as well not. In Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Zimbabwe. Back of bread. Thank you very much.
No, Zimbabwe. I mean, this guy was Mugabe. What's his name? Mugabe. Yeah, he's been around for 30 years.
Shame,
I mean, the guy is a reitseach. But you know, when the lion gets killed, all of a sudden he becomes. You know, there's a big, there's a famous lion in Zimbabwe that somebody that already. You know, how many people he's killed? You know. Okay. It's a good horror that you're giving back worthless.
No, yeah. This is in general though. It's all this stuff. It makes very much sense that when money was something, it was a gold.
It was
what it was. You borrowed one coin, why not? When someone's borrowing a dollar now, they're borrowing the value. Really, they're borrowing the value of the dollar. They're not borrowing the star. And that's it. No one's borrowing the star. I mean, no one cares. The star itself is irrelevant.
It's a number of pashut. I mean, all I can tell you is it's a number of pashut that just because your rate of interest is lower than the consumer price index doesn't mean you can pay it. The only question is there such a point at which money becomes so worthless?
No, that's ribbis for sure. Ribbis for sure is just a cost of money, even if you're losing it.
Yeah.
But everything else, revaluation of property, even a Veda, wherever you would.
For other valuation purposes.
I don't know, I just always assume that it just makes sense. I don't know.
It would be a chiddush. I hear what you're saying. I think it would be a chiddush, but I hear what you're saying.
Just conceptually, why wouldn't it be when you borrow a gold coin from somebody, you're borrowing the gold coin itself. When you're borrowing a dollar bill, no one would say that they're borrowing the dollar bill itself. No one would say you have to give back that dollar bill. No lender would ever say, I want that 20 back, that specific 20. It's not relevant. So essentially, you're borrowing the value of the 20. Is that not? You're not borrowing the coin.
Yeah, I understand. But Chazal still go with the idea that value does not change. It's what you can do with the value that changes. Meaning to say, 100 units is 100 units. Elamai, 100 units. The commodity is now double. In other words, you don't say that. You don't. Again, it's semantic, but it makes a big difference. Yeah. You don't say the money is halved. You say the commodity is doubled. The money is fixed. And therefore, for you to give more would be ribbis. I mean, maybe that's because there is a kasuv taka. It's not swara, but that's what Chazal say. Chazal look at now again how that works with paper money is a good question. But at least with coins, it's a double pashut. Chazal looked at coins as not changing, and inflation was not a change in the value of the coin. It was a change in the value of the commodities that you buy with the coin. Right? That's the idea of tiva. That's the aside in Perikazov. Okay, so we go on here, right? So we so far said she does not get a ksuva, even nechzei tzayin barzel. She cannot be taiveya the peiros that the husband ate shaloi kedin from the nechzei malug. V'lo mezainus. In the ongoing marriage, she has no claim for mezainus. He's not mechuyev to give her mezainus. V'loi. The word belais means worn-out clothing. What do we mean, worn-out clothing or worn-out things? So the Muki Yosef again brings Rashi. 1 second. Perish Rashi. Afilu belais shel nichsei tzayin barzel hakayomen. So this is really, so according to Rashi, this is essentially a subcategory of kesuva. When we told her she doesn't get a ksuba, that means she doesn't get mana masayim and the chiyuvim of nichsei tzayin barzel. But I might have had a hava nina. When does she not get her dowry? That just means she doesn't have a monetary claim against her husband. But what if the dowry is intact? So Bulatna is intact. So she says, don't pay me. Just give me back what I brought in. So Rashi learns, lay balais means that, so it's not about the clothing. In other words, that not only does she not have a monetary claim, but even the be'en that she actually brought in, she does not get back. However, the good news for her and for him is havlat kosher, that whatever child she has is not a mamzer even midrabanan, because by shmiras they were not geizer mamzeris. Ve kaifen aisai lahaitzi, and basedin will be machayev kaifen. Kaifen is even b'shutefes sticks. He will be ordered and forced to divorce her because it's also midrabanan to be with the shmiya. But now we contrast the following. Almana l'kayin gadol. This is an issue of Raisa. Gerusha v'chalutza l'kayin hejit. Mamzeris v'nesino l'Yisrael. Bas Yisrael l'mamzer v'l'nesin. Okay, so again, what's a nesina? A nesina is nesin, is from the Givainim. They are from the Shiva Umais. That we were supposed to destroy, but Yeshua could not destroy them because of a Shavua. So this Mishnah is naming on. There is a machlokas. Is the Isser of Nesinim a Doraisa or Drabanan? Some say it's only Drabanan. This Mishnah of Eistachais holds Nesinim is Doraisa. So paradoxically, we have this problem that when it comes to Isurei Doraisa, the woman gets a Kesuba. Now the question is that only the Kesuba? Or is that a shorthand for the entire list? But once again, though, the Pashtus, the most Rishonim learn, she gets everything. Meaning, she gets everything. She is treated exactly like a wife, except for the Kaif and Isai Lahaitzi. That'll be common in both. So the big question is, why is there a chiluk between a Surei Drabanan, where the woman forfeits everything, and the husband actually comes out ahead economically, versus Isurei the Araisa? It's not pretty good, but look at the Gemara itself. The Gemara itself asks the Kasha, what is the difference? This is Pehe Amidov. Tani Rabbanan, towards the bottom. Tani Rabbanan. Almanol Kain Gadol, Grisha Vachlusol Kain Hejit, Yesh Lo Ksuva, Peiris, he says everything. Peiris, Mizainas, Bolois. He Psula, right, the Almana becomes a Chalala, Uvlada Puzzle. That means the child is a Chalal, or the child is a Chalala. V'kaifin Asay Lahaitzi, Shniyesh v'divrei seifrim ein la k'suva v'leperz v'lanzva b'lais v'hi k'sheira uvlada kasher v'kaifin aysay l'haytzi. Right, so that's exactly what the Mishnah says. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar v'lima amru alman l'kayin gadol yesh la k'suva. The reason is v'nei shehu pasol v'hi p'suva. What does it mean, hu pasol? So look in Rashi. Rashi says, what does it mean, hu pasol? Achi perusha. Mibnei shehu pasol, kidisnan bibachiris. Hanaisei nashim biaveira, pasol ad shi yadir hana. Now this is a draban indicative. If a kayin marries a woman, he's not allowed to marry. He is pasul midrabanan from doing the avodah and also from duchening, until not only must he divorce her, but he must make a neder barabim or aldas rabim that he will not marry these women again. So he is pasul as well as she. So what is the klal? The kol makaim shahu pasul v'hi psula kansu oso ksula. Meaning kolaymar lo kansu ha mishar kolanashim. V'hai de kansei rabbanan lishniya kesuva kidei shlo tisakev etzlo hu dekiven do tahavi lo kesuva minei shafgalei benafka. Avol hachalei tzarech dimimele shafgalei dekiven tehu nifsel al yada yesh katata beineyem v'hechen kishihi nifseles al yada. So what is our svara? It's kind of a mudna svara. The rule is, by removing any financial benefits she would get in the event of divorce, he's more likely to divorce her. Remember, the whole rule of, why does a woman get a ksuva? Shelo tehei, we pass the ksuvas rabbanan. Shelo tehei, kala b'ein of laitzia. We want to encourage him to divorce her. Since we want to encourage him to divorce her, we basically are bribing him. We're offering him an inducement. We're basically telling him, hey, you divorce this woman, you're pater from a ksuva, you get to keep her nedunya, she can't be taiveya, the peiris that you ate like you did. So Mamela, we want to induce him by essentially penalizing her. Masha'en kein, itaynez, in an eifin where the husband himself is puzzled until he gets rid of her, you don't need to incentivize his divorcing her. He'll want to divorce her anyway because presumably he wants to be a kohen. That's the psychology. So it's not that you're punishing her. That's what Rashi's medayik. Rashi says we're treating her the same, meaning we don't punish her in the sense that we treat her the same as all women, because since he's pasul, so there's katata and they're going to get divorced anyway. Right, that's the chiluk. The only thing that I don't really follow, because that makes sense if a kohen, the Mishnah gives a few cases where a woman gets a ksuva. One is kohen gadol bi'almana, one is kohen hedjet begrusha. So I get that, because he is pasul. But what about Yisrael shenasa mamzeris? What psul does the Yisrael have that would incentivize him to divorce? I mean, the text that Rashi brings is only a miyuchad dikadin for kahanim. So how does that explain the other one? It seems to be because of mamzeris itself. All right, that's what it seems to be. In other words, Rashi goes on and seems to say that in the other cases, the zera is going to be puzzle. Yisrael shenasa mamzeres, mamzer shenasa bas Yisrael. In other words, the getter is like this. We only provide an incentive for the husband to divorce her when there are no negative consequences to either the husband or his children. So by shnia, there are no negative consequences. His children are kosher, and he's kosher. So by Shnia, the only way we convince him to divorce her, besides based on ordering him, is we basically tell him you don't have to give her a ksuba. But in every other case, in the case of Kohanim, he's pasul. And in the case of Yisrael and Mamzer, or Mamzer in a sin, the Zera is pasul. So presumably, it's hard for me to know. I mean, the guy married a woman knowing that would be the case, but apparently the notion that we keep on telling him, you know, your kids are going to be mamzerim, that's enough of a shtuk.
But that's he didn't know. Also, this has to apply also in case we didn't know, right?
Maybe he didn't know, yeah. Yeah, he didn't know, that would be the consequence. So we don't change the halacha there. because for Kirit, there's no reason to get, there's no reason, in other words, there's no reason to take a guy off the hook unless that is kind of a, almost like giving in to blackmail, so he'll, to encourage him to divorce him. That's the chiluk we make between a doraisa and the drabanan. Right? That's how the Tanakhama learns. Now, there is another reason. It goes on, if you go weiter. Right? Again, reading, Reimal Amru Shnias from Divrei Seifrim, Ein Lam Ksuba, Mivnei Shehu Kasher Vehi Kasherah. V'chol Makayim Shehu Kasher Vehi Kasherah, Kansu Aisa Ksuba. We consign her. Why do we consign her? Not because we're punishing her. We consign her to encourage the husband to give her a get. That's the first reason. Now, Rebbe Aimer, Rebbe gives a second reason. Halalu Divrei Torah. When something is an Isser D'Oraisa, Divrei Torah Ein Tzrichin Chizuk. We don't have to strengthen Torah law because people know you have to keep the Torah. Mashen Ken what? Halalu Divrei Seifrim. Divrei Seifrim Ein Tzrichin Chizuk. So what's the Chizuk? The Chizuk would be like this. The Chizuk would be that one of the ways we communicate that this is an improper marriage is by saying it doesn't have the obligations, even though it turns out the bad guy is winning. It does turn out the bad guy is winning, or at least half of the bad guys are winning. But the pshat is, this is a way of conveying an educational, pedagogical message that this is not a real marriage. I mean, Kedushin is typist. Right, that's the notion of chizuk. Chizuk says, no ksuva, no mezainas, we don't look at this as a marriage. You're living in sin. Right, that would be his svara there. Then he gives a second reason Rebbe gives, davar acher. It all depends on who is the bad guy. Ze margila, vizu he margila so. So look in Rashi. Almana l'kayin gadol, v'ruchim l'kayin hedget. When you're dealing with that, who margila, we have to assume that he was the one that enticed her, l'nasei lo. V'zu shnia, kivin dolo ihi mifsala, v'lav zara mifso, v'lo mifsa demidi b'viyasei, he margila so. Okay, so Yishu writes, l'nasei, all right, so here it is. Very, very interesting psychology. We start off, again, some women might be offended. We start off with the idea that normally we look at the woman as the enticer. The woman is the enticer. The guy gets attracted, the woman made herself attractive, and Rashi says the woman is right silly, not saying more than an ish. So our default position is the woman is the bad guy in the transaction. And therefore, by Shnia, she's mafsid. Elamai. But I assume by Isurei D'Oraisa, again, this doesn't answer everything, since she will become pasul, if it's Almana L'Kayin Gadol, or Gerusha V'Chalutz L'Kayin Hedget, and there'll be an impact on the children, a woman would not want to get married under those circumstances. So we reverse our presumption, and we say the husband was the one. Right? So it's a question of, who do you assume is the sinner here?
A man could be offended as well. The presumption is that he would want to have children on his own, but she wouldn't.
Yeah, okay. You can go, yeah. So there's equal offense here. So this third svara, right? I mean, again, this third svara, obviously it's not going to be factually true in every case. But the Chachamim are looking for a general rule. And they're not going to have a trial in front of a Beis Din who was Mach Shalom. Right? That would be, it's very hard to prove. But we go with the general psychology that by Shnia, our assumption is she was machshel him, and that's why she loses out. And by the Doraisas, our assumption is he was machshel her. Okay? But be it as it may, we have this very, very curious idea that in effect, the woman in a Doraisa prohibited marriage does have all of the rights of a married woman, but a woman who's coming out of a Shnia marriage loses all of these chusim. Right, so those are the chilukim that the Mishnah makes. Yeah, let's see the movie Gemara in the Rif. Naboy minay, dinay, bidri. Now go ahead here, bidri. Or bidri, okay. Boy minay, bnei bidri, in the Kharpashika city, me Rav Sheshis. Let's say you have Shania Labal, below Shania Liyavan, Yesh Laksuba Miyavan, Oin Laksuba Miyavan. Okay, so this is a very interesting Shaila. What is, again, let's chazer over the Yesaitis over here. What is the normal din? Remember the Gemara and Achailets. What is the normal din about a Yavama getting a Kesuba? Right? A guy dies without children. So the Yavam is Miyavim. So the Mishnah and Achailet said, Kesuvasa al nichsei baila harishain, that the Yavam inherits all of his brother's estate, but her tevia of a kesuva is limited to the nechasim of baila harishain. She does not have a tevia against the assets of the Yavam. In fact, even though the Gemara then says, remember, im lesle larishain Takinu le meisheni. What does that mean? That doesn't mean, according to the Rambam, if there's not enough in the Risha and you go after the Sheni, because then there's no meaning in saying Ksuvas al nichsei baila harisha. Rather, faker. If there is a Ksuva and there's not enough in the estate, for Fallon, she loses it. But rather, unless le meisheni means if she was mecheles her Ksuva from the Risha and mechayim, she still has a basic mana masayim against the sheni, shalotehe kala bi'enav lahitziya. So here's the shaila. Let's say she was a shniya labal. Now, as a shniya labal, she's not entitled to a ksuba. Okay? But the yavam is miyavimer. So do I say, vibal, she's a shniya labal, she has no ksuba even from the yavam? Well, l'chaira, I mean, okay, we'll see. I mean, l'chaira, I would just say pasha. Isn't that mamish the din? Im einla, right? What does it say? It says k'suvas al nichsei baila rishain, I lesle me rishain, takinu le misheni kedei shelo tehei kala b'yenav leitzia. Now, granted, im lesle the rishain would mean mechelas, but l'chaira, why couldn't it also include shnia? In other words, in a case where she doesn't have a k'suva me rishain, Chazal were Misakin from the Sheni. I mean, l'chari, shouldn't that mamish be the... Yes, let's see. So that's the shayla the Gemara has. The Gemara shayla is, Boi minei, b'nei bidre, b'rav sheshes, shniya l'bav, lo shniya l'yavam, yesh l'ksuba miyavam, orain l'ksuba miyavam, ki min the amar mar, ah, ksuba sal nechsei bai lo harishayin, and therefore, ein la, O Dilma, even the ilu lesla meirishan, for example, mechila, takinu le rabbanan misheni, therefore isla. L'chari, that side seems pashit to me. That mamish seems to be what the words say. Right? Upashit lu, and what's the maskana? Im haisa shniya labal, ein lo ksuba, afilu miyav. Let's see the Rambam here. So he takatainas, Shnia Labal, and not, oh, sorry, Shnia Labal, below Shnia Liyavan, no ksuba. Hi, what about the concern? Shalotehe, Kala, Bienav, Lotzia. Bishlama, the Gabi Labal, we want the Baal to be Megarish, right? But here, what would the problem, I mean, what, her, if she's Muteris Liyavan, unless you're going to say, maybe the svara is like this. Maybe the svara is that you have to look ahead, meaning to say like this: when the brother, when the mace married the shnia, we wanted to encourage divorce. Now the way we encourage a divorce is the woman knowing that there'll be no ksuva, right, etc. Now maybe the getter is if there would be some ksuva from the yavam, that would give the woman a reason to stay in the marriage. In the sense that she figures, oh, husband will die and I'll have some protection. So maybe you have to build it in. In other words, if you want to build it into the idea that we wanted to discourage a divorce when the mace was alive, maybe you have to have a rule that there'll be no ksuba even from the yavam.
That's presupposing that she won't have any children.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct.
And everybody.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to say that that's going to be part of her decision. Yeah. So where's the halacha here? Where is it? Yevamash lo hayala al baila ksura meisha haisa asura alav, even though muteris liyavam, imratza hayavam liyabeim liyabeim. Ve'ein la alav ksuba kederash lo hayala al baila. V'dineha, v'dina im yevama, v'taysepes, what should I say in baila? Alright, so the Rambam, he's not really mazra. I mean, the Rambam basically says exactly what the Gemara says, that the rule, im lesla me rishay, takino la me sheni, would be covering a case where the husband didn't write a ksuva, or the woman is mechalas the ksuva. Then she gets a minimum ksuva from the yavam. But where the reason she doesn't get a ksuva is because of the iser in the marriage, so b'chiyai gatna, that carries over into the yavam too. Question is, what about the problem of kala b'ein of laitzia? Again, that's the issue. The issue is, mitzad the yavam, we don't want it to be, b'pashtus, kala b'ein of laitzia. And the whole din, I mean, the Gemara doesn't quote it here, but the Gemara Nachaylet says the whole yisayt of the din, im lesla me rishain takino la misheni, is shalot tehe kala b'ein of lahitzia. Right? So why don't you have that issue here? Where is this? This is Pehe.
Unless you say that the we only say the shalot have the lahitzia where she was originally married to Heather.
Right, yeah, apparently we are saying that, but the question is, what exactly would the svar for that be? Because mitzad the yavam, it's a mutter relationship.
Because it's true, there's a mutter relationship, but it came about through an iser. So therefore, I'm not going to extend that svar.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it's the fruits of the poisonous tree. Is that metaphor? Yeah.
Sense though? Because right now she's married
the heter
we don't want a divorce to start.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's what I was trying to say before, that maybe it made sense because her inability to get a ksuva even from a yavam might create more of a reason. Again, that presupposes she's thinking in those terms, and that even though she might have children, it's not going to be no geya. Yeah. Okay. I mean, in Lumbus also you could say, in Lumbus you can also say that the Yavam takes over the Ishus of the brother, so it right. can't be more chamor than
the brothers.
But we don't say that if the brother had a Mechilas Ksuba. We don't say he takes over the Ishus. We independently create a Chayvas Ksuba Shalot Haikala Vienna Vlaitzi.
It's like a little fluid. It's like a little fluid for consumers.
Yeah.
This is Lushkia. I'm just thinking why they would maybe they went crazy and you.
Means marrying a shnei is loshkia.
I did it. There would be a shnei that would fall to yibum.
Could be. So okay.
Logically.
Yeah. Okay.
You say that with mammon issues like this.
If it's a takana, you know, in other words, vice to chais from the Gemara's language. The whole din of im that either minatayra or even if ksuva is legamri drabanan, but the ikar takana of ksuva would not extend to the yavam's property; would only go on the brother's property. And this is a new takana's chachamim im les la merishon takinu la rabanan misheni. That's a new takana. So if it is a new takana, it's not the normal din of ksuva. So you could apply the rules of Milsad Lo Shechicha because it's a new separate takana. It's not the generic. That's why it's only Mana Masayim, right? I think we learned that the Rishayim say that even if her kesuva, let's say her kesuva from the first husband, you know, would have included Nidunya, all sorts of things. But there's no Nechasim and there was Mechila. So her claim against the Yavam's assets is not for an entire kesuva. It's for a bare bones minimum ksuva, shalote hekalabin of latzi, which would just be mana masai. Actually, would be mana by definition, because she's an almana. Every yavam is an almana, so the ksuva yavam is only midraban is only a mana.
We saw flicks about that. No, didn't we see?
If it's masai,
we saw different gears, as I remember.
Yeah. But the question would be, you came up with the star, whether it's masai.
I think we're just taking over the issues of the Baal and they're reinstating the original. I don't remember. I remember we saw different.
Yeah, a second. This was in the fourth Perek.
That wouldn't help us, because even if it is taking over the issues of the Baal, that wouldn't stop them being attacking something extra.
That's
not
going to
help.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Megareya. In Perak Hachaylitz, Shavas al Nechle Baila Rishon, in Lesla Mirishain, Takino la Mishaini, Kidei Shlo Tehe, Chalo Biena, Lahitzia. Yes, in Hilchos Ishes, Perek Chaf Beis, Shemeres Yavan, Ksuvas al Nichse Baila, Lefikachena Yavan Yachalimkar, Vinichse Yachiv, Ben Kaidem Yivan, Ben Achayibam, Yemachar, Einasan Matan, or Chalak Yemachar, Benichse Yameis, Ben Kaidem Yivan, Ben Achayibam, Loyasaklam, Shikar Nishai, Vinichasme, Loyamana, Ligwas Ksuvasa. Kanas Eshivimtai, Viniach Achiv, okay, that's a separate thing. Now, where's the din of unless they may reshain? If she didn't have a ksuva or machla, zacha b'nichsa yachiv, v'molchiv nashin k'chepzai, you call the chasav achran u'ksuvasa kishar kol anashim shesem ksuva? Yeah, the Rambam. Now the Rambam's lesson is beferish. The Rambam's lesson is kishi yichnais es yivimtei yichtev la kesuva meya. So the shita of the Rambam is pashit, is beferish, that the ksuva of the yavama is meya unless there's a ksuva al nichse baila harishain, which would include everything. Now, does anybody argue with that? Esrim v'chamisha zuz?
Yeah.
So that would be zuz or sela? Sela.
Zuz.
Says zuz?
Zuz de chazun la tahaviksim v'ksufta. Tahaviksim v'ksufta de chazun la baila. Kamayi. As I told you. That's eight.
So it depends if it's manetsuri.
Yeah.
So that would be 200 zuz.
I mean, it said, because the ksuva
sim. Where?
In the back of the riff, after the end of the 12th paragraph.
At the end of the 12th paragraph.
He has like a list of all
the. So then, sir, it's back for 1 second. Ah, yeah. Ksuva sim.
The last three lines.
Bien Pliny, Kadain, Eich Pliny, Bar Pliny, Asala Kadmana, Vachain Amar Lana, Achi Dimin Abba Shachev, Vachaye Lerabanan El Chol Yisrael Shavak. That's a nice expression. You say the brother died, and he left Chayim to the Rabbanan and to everybody else. Okay?
It's about 4 lines.
Ubar Ubras. Umayris, Umachsen, Umukim Shema be Yisrael Laishavik. He did not leave a son or a daughter or somebody to Yarshin and perpetuate his name. Vishavakahiyisasa, Dishma, Plainis Bar Plaini, Dimimata Plainis, right from a certain city. Vachazi li midyaraisa li yibume yasa, and I could be miyabimer, kidichsir, the sefer. Oraisa demaisha, Yavama Yavai Alaha, Utsvias plainest star, the Yisyabnis of Plaini Bar Plaini Yavama, the deal the Ukume Shema be Israel. Right, this is the Nusach of the Ksuba, the Dixiv, Vaya Bechor, Shetela, Yokam al Shemacha Fames. The din the Dunya, the Hanalas, Plainisa, Dormi Beis Avua, the Beis Yavama, Kedain Bechadain. So first of all, this includes Nichsei Tzayin Barzal, this includes Nidunya. The dowry that she brings in is so-and-so. Because of La Plaini La Plaini, Yivim Tei, Esrim B'chamisha Zuz, Dechazin La, Dehavi Kesive B'ksuvasa, Dekasa La, Baila Kama'a, V'yaysif la medilei kaden v'chaden v'kibel alei pleini dana acharayas v'taysefes kisuf dada v'al yarsay basroi mikarkoi v'talkalei afilu miglima d'al kasvei k'dikachsvinan v'shtore kisuvay s'diyama. Wow, very, very interesting. That's very interesting. So, first of all, like this. When do you get to 25 zuz? Because remember, we do paskin k'suvas midrabanan. Because Ksuvas Drabanan, so he says, the Zuzim that we use are the cheaper Zuzim that are Zuzim Medina. So 200 Zuzay Medina is 25 Zuzim of Tzuri. So the ksuba is expressed, at least his nosach, is bezuzim of Tsuri, but the masayim is a share of Zuzay Medina. Right, Zuzay Medina are only 1/8 of Zuzay Tsuri. So 25 Zuzay Tsuri are 200 Zuzay Medina. So it's very interesting that the Rambam is just chaylik with the Rivier. The Rambam seems to say that when there's no kesuva al baila harishain, and we're misakin a kesuva from the yavam, we impose on the yavam exactly the kesuva that the brother had, including the fact that she was a basula, if she was a basula at the time, as opposed to the Rambam, who simply says it's a new ksuva. All it is, it's not taking over the ksuva. The Rif is learning it's taking over the ksuva. The Rambam is learning it's a new ksuva. It's a new ksuva. Again, it's always remarkable when the Rambam simply is chaylik on the Rif, just doesn't go with the Rif at all on this. Wow. Okay, Yeshkaya. How did you find it? How did you find it? 12
Fair. I think I originally saw it. We did it. And then we looked around. And right. Different Torah and different Nusfas.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. But the Rambam says not. The Rambam says it's only a ksuba of Meya. Yeah.
You know what they did? There were some cases of this recently. They were doing it in Tehman, and also people did it.
Yeah, we have to see, but again, like, the question is, what were they mechuyev to? Meaning to say, it could be voluntarily people
took
also, right? But what was the compulsory? What was the chiyuv that you don't know for sure.
Different thing in the books.
You don't know for sure.
They did it like that.
The Rambam probably.
Yeah. Yeah, but remember that this is only kicks in where there is not enough nechassim in the brother's estate to cover the ksuva. This is not going to be the case in every case of Yibam. In every case of Yibam, the Yavam doesn't have to write a ksuva, because the brother's ksuva simply rolls over onto the estate. So I don't know how large a sampling you'll have of a case like this. Yeah.
But I guess the far as why should she lose that? I mean, maybe why should she lose that? The Lundus is probably he's taking over
the ksuba.
It makes sense in the sense that she got an original ksuba. It doesn't.
You see,
care.
See what's not interesting. See what's interesting is that the Rif's girsa might be a yishuv in Lundus, at least in Lundus, to our problem. Right? Our problem was that the Gemara's maskana is that when the husband was forbidden to the husband, it was a shnia. There's no ksuba from the yavam. So we asked the kasha, why shouldn't there be a ksuva from the yavam? It shouldn't be kalabin of lehitziya. Now, since like the Rif, you see that kalabin of lehitziya means he takes over the ksuva of the husband. Minela, if the husband doesn't have a ksuva, there's no ksuva shivamit. See, like the Rambam, it's more shver. Like the Rambam, that it's a new bare bones ksuva. Then we had Akasha, let's be misakin it. Then you have to give different lumbuses. But it could be like the Rif, you have a yeshiv. Because like the Rif, this is not a takana of a new ksuva. This is, we impose on him the ksuva on the husband. Now, normally that's going to be a chumra for him, because that's going to be a bigger ksuva. But in this case, it turns out to be a kula, that when the husband had no ksuva, mikayach iser. And so it could be that, like the Rif, it could be, you could be, at least in Lumbus, if not in fairness, you could be Miyashiv the Kasha.
It makes sense. Doesn't she have, I mean, it's Magia La, the Ksuba. So how did it disappear? How's the Rambam going to learn to say it disappeared?
It disappeared because she was Mochelis. I mean, that's the case. She was Mochelis the Ksuba. So Mamela, yeah, she was Mochelis. Again, remember, it doesn't mean
so
there's not enough problem. Yeah?
Sorry, is the Rif learning maybe she wasn't Mochelis? I don't remember what the Rif said, because in that case, if she was Mochelis, what's she taking over?
Well, it is a new thing, but taking over the original, you take over the original ksuba, unless you're going to tell me that the Rif maybe the Rif learns him less leg just means there's not enough.
Yeah, maybe that makes sense.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it could be. He learns that way. Although okay. So he's chaylik in the Rambam in that too. That means he's chaylik in the Rambam too, brother. Because the Rambam says beferish im less la refers to mochelis. It does not refer to. There's not enough property.
Is it possible to even learn like that? Then we end up with a problem, then there's no difference between.
Yeah. So the Rishonim ask that, because there are Rishonim who learn, im lesla means there's not enough, and then they ask the Kasha, So what is the significance? If you're just telling me there's not enough, so what is the significance of saying you go after Nichsei Arisha? I mean, it doesn't mean anything. So the answer is a Shiloh of Kadima, meaning to say, if some Lekuchas bought his property, some Lekuchas bought the brother's property, so we are Machayefer to go after the brother's property. In other words, it's a question of Kadima vis-a-vis Lekuchas, but ultimately he's taking over the old Ksuba. Which would mean, according to that, it might mean that if there's actual Mechila, maybe she gets no Ksuba from the Yavim at all. In other words, that's what you want to say, actually.
That would apply from his Lashon to the Pashtus. And it's the Havuk Sivan Beksufta.
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason he's Mechuyah to give it to us because she had it written in a previous Ksuba.
Yeah, but then you have a problem of Kalabin of in other words, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But according to what you're saying, you're actually saying at the point in time at which she has no Ksuba from the first husband, she actually has no rights against the Yavim either. And then you've got a problem, it's Kalabin of Lotzia. Yeah. And even if you're going to answer by Shnia, we don't care about that. But by Heter v'Heter, we certainly should care about that. So, you know, I think you're going to have a problem with that Mahalach. Yeah. Okay, it's good to see that big machlokis the Rambam in the Rif here. But Ksuvas Yavam, it's not a Dover Pashut. According to the Rambam, it's bare bones mana. And according to the Rif, it seems to be she gets everything that was in the first husband's Ksuva.
Let's say for somebody which this.
General Machlokes
the Rambam. They're not that many, right?
Is there? They're not. The Rambam in the Hakdamah to Perish Mishnayos, which he wrote when he was 30, so it could be there was there. He writes. You see a little bit of a. You see, the Rambam had a certain confidence. He was only 30 years old, and he writes about how great the Rif was. First of all, he writes about the Rima Gash. It's interesting. He says about the Rima Gash, who was his father's Rebbe. He says. His understanding of Talmud, of Gemara, was beyond human comprehension. He had a tremendous chashivas of the Rima Gash. Then he writes about how great the Rif is, and he says, you know, the Rif only made like 5 mistakes, he says, in all the halachas, he says. You know, but he was able to judge the Rif. No,
but he's had more, there's more, probably more than
no, there's more than, I'm saying, but is there a listing? I don't know if there's a listing of this. That'd be very interesting to put together where the Rambam is chilek on the Rif. But as they say, the fact that he mentions 5 is no raya because there were many years afterwards. And you know, we have different versions. Now, in the Perush Mishnayos, we vada have at least 2 Mahaduras in the Rambam's own Ksavim, in which there were major chazaras in it. In the Mishnah Torah, do we have additions where the Rambam? I think even in the Mishnah Torah, we have additions. Where the Rambam in his own Ksav Yad was Chayzer and certain Pesachim. Right. He crosses out.
Cambridge,
yeah.
In the library, you see him crossing out and writing out.
It's a big. Okay. No, really, to in those days, for a mechaber of a sefer like the Rambam to be chayzer, it was a major thing because manuscripts already were circulated. How do you correct it? How do you distribute it? Today it's much easier to be modia. Even today it's not so simple, but you know, I could be modia that change this page, substitute this page. You know, you have an email attachment or something. Okay. You know, that's what the Chazan said about, we only have one complete manuscript before printing of the Talmud Bavli that's intact. Only one complete, that's the famous Munich Codex. I don't know if it's probably here now, it's probably not Munich anymore.
The original one?
Yeah, the Munich Codex, the manuscript. And in the 19th century, there was a chashuv person, he did Dikduke Sofrim, in which he compared line by line, and he wrote Horus, he was a big Talmud Chacham. So it's Yadua that although he had haskamas of many gedolim, haskamas who said good thing, but the Chazon Ish was very misnagate to manuscript research because he had, number one, kind of a mystical idea that if the Beis Yosef and if the Balei Mesorah didn't see it, then it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon that the halacha should be based on a mistaken text. Yeah. But kachi ratzon haborin, you know, whatever it is. But the other is, the Chazon Ish said, that it's almost taking lishitasa. If you're maida that manuscripts get corrupted, then this could be a corrupted manuscript. And for Keret, Bahashkacha, we would assume that the true manuscript, as he says, you can't use a manuscript to corrupt a manuscript because manuscripts are corrupted, even though she touched us. So he said he didn't.
Isn't there a difference? Isn't there a big difference in like a general amendments and then things that really make more sense? I mean, svar, in other words, you have sometimes situations where things don't make really sense.
No, you know what they say. They say
simply just a mistake. Yeah.
You know, Bible. Okay. I mean, the Bible critics who they're magia. You know, they actually say in manuscript reading there is an idea that a nonsensical sentence is more likely to be the correct one because it makes no sense, so it must have been there. meaning the notion
that
nobody would make that mistake, so there has to be some reason why it's written in a crazy way.
Yeah, and they apply that except when they're editing the text of the Torah.
That
it must be a mistake in the biblical transmission, all the German critics are very happy to say, oh, this grammatical form must be wrong.
It's always right. It's a rule until it's not.
Yeah.
But there is a kind of I know. But I've seen in Tehillim, I've seen in Mishlei, there are different things. They say that the one that is least understood might be the have a chazak as being the most emes because people wouldn't make. But on the other hand, you know, that's kind of a little bit of a weak argument because the truth of the matter is, at least in manuscripts like Gemara, a lot of times the matikim were amaratzim. So it's not like they didn't understand what they were writing. So you know, if you don't understand what you're writing, you can write anything.
Famous things. And they do that. That famous whole shaila. Everybody had like a million different answers to it. And they realized that at the end they found this manuscript and it was like crossed out. Instead of like Ayin Sadi, you wrote Ayin Dalet. You know,
Yeah. So those types of mistakes, anybody, you know. A mistake from Amaratus, ain't was ever so. There's no gabul to a mistake you can make. And then you have things like, you know, a line ends with the same letter as five lines down in your eye, you know, or the same word. The last word is the same, so, you know, so you skip four lines. You know, these are all sorts of mistakes that can be made in manuscripts. Okay. What time is it? Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Okay, thank you.